women have a unique role in creation. Women are the nurturers, the birth givers, the more spiritual of the genders. And Torah teaches that women have a special status. Join Mashi Lipska for the next hour as she expounds the Torah wisdom specific to women. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Good evening, good evening. It's Mashi Lipska, this is Chai FM, and we're privileged this evening to kind of see how close we are getting to Sinai, how much distance has passed, how much we have reflected, how much we've gone within to be ready for that momentous, wonderful moment, which we're told didn't just happen 3,300 years ago, but that every single year on Shavuot, we re-receive the Torah, each one of us. In fact, the Lubavitcher Rebbe encouraged that everybody who possibly can comes to shul, a newborn. People may not feel that way. People who have to be brought to shul, their soul hears. And just as every single Jew stood at Sinai, and every single Jew said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we're going to do this. We accept it. We willingly take it on. Each and every one of us was there. Each and every soul that would be destined to be part of the Jewish nation, with authenticity, we all willingly accepted the Torah. And every year on Shavuos, we need to be there to hear the reading of the Ten Commandments and re-receive, re-accept, renew the bond, renew the commitment, and we're preparing for it now. Now, in this preparation, there are various things that are given to us to help us. The one, obviously, is the counting of the Omer, where every single day we count a different aspect of our personalities, refining our personalities. And then when we complete one full week or one full emotional attribute, as it is expressed through its sub-attributes, we move on to the next week. There are 7 weeks in all. There are 7 attributes in all. And we're finishing the 5th week, and we're going toward the 6th week, which means it's almost Shavuot. In just over 2 weeks, the festival of Shavuot will be with us. So, how do we look at this? Where do we start? Well, as always, we say, we look into the Torah. We look into the reading of that particular week. Because, as the Chassidim of the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Schneur Zalman of Liadi, once heard him say, Memba darf leben mit der Zeit, one must live with the times. And from his brother, the Holy Rebbe Yehuda Leib, they found out that what he means is not we need to get modern when the outside world is putting social pressure, not we need to change to know who we are. It's not the society around us that's going to tell us how to think and how to dress and how to live, and how to work. Oh, no. Remember, darf leben mit der Zeit, we need to live with the times, means we need to live with the Torah reading of the week. And the Torah reading of the week enhances, focuses us, gives us this incredible clarity as to what we need to do and how we can get there. In fact, we're in the week when we had Lag BaOmer. Yesterday was the 33rd day of the Omer. And of course, Lag BaOmer is the day of the passing of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who brought the Zohar, who brought Kabbalah to the world. And the word Zohar means light, illumination, being able to see in Torah how relevant and how it really talks to us and how it's for right now. God's infinite Torah with so many infinite levels to it. And he had the privilege to reveal it, to bring that light, that fire, that clarity into the world. And all of this, the message really of Lag BaOmer is to refocus us and sharpen our vision as to who we are, to have pride and joy in who we are. And amazingly, unlike thinking that a Yahrzeit, the day of passing, is a sad day, he said, celebrate my day. It's a hilulah. It's a celebration. It's a wedding. Be happy. Rejoice. And I will take your blessings. I will take your prayers. I will bring you blessings. I will help you to elevate yourself. Serve God with joy is actually a basic. That is the basis of whatever we're going through, whatever is happening, to find the joy. And of course, the Kabbalah, particularly Hasidic teaching, gives us the perspective to be able to read the Parsha and internalize it for now, to be able to see events and understand how they're talking to us. And the Rebbe, from the early 40s, soon after he came to America, organized parades where children would march with pride and they would hold signs announcing mitzvahs and make it simple, make it direct about keeping kosher, keeping Shabbos, studying Torah, giving tzedakah. And obviously, it brings us back to the fact that we need to put our whole heart and soul into giving our children an authentic Jewish education and pride, pride into who they are, not pride into which sports team they support or which how well they play soccer or do gymnastics or those kind of things, not even how well they train their minds in the sciences, in the maths, in history, in English, in biology, etc. This is not what the essence of the Jew is. The essence of a Jew is Torah. He is one with Torah. And amazingly, this is a week where both the Parsha and the coming up attribute are going to speak about unity, about completion, about bonding. It's an amazing, amazing realization to understand that on our own we can't do it. But when we join and partner with Hashem, when we understand the great privilege that he has given us to be able to bond with him, to bring about his dream, his passion, it's a different story. And so besides the Omer counting, and besides the Torah portion, we want to begin by looking at something called the Hayom Yom. And what is the Hayom Yom? Hayom Yom is a book that was written in 1942 for the year of 42-43, started at the 19th of Kislev, and went through to the next year, the 18th of Kislev, with a thought for the day, a perspective, a custom, a teaching, a story, and a thought. And the thought for today is quite amazing. And what it tells us is that Hasidic teaching is godly understanding. Godly understanding? It's a perspective that shows a person how humble of station he is, how small he is. But at the same time, it shows him how great he can become, to what heights he can elevate himself. Now, to elevate yourself takes work. And that's the refining of the person's attributes, the way he relates to himself and to others and to Hashem. As we refine it in this 7-week or 49-day period, and the parshas that we're reading, the Torah portions, enlighten us, clarify, help us to understand not only how much we can do within ourselves, but it puts us in touch with the fact of how much Hashem loves us and all the gifts he gave us and is constantly giving to us and what he expects. He gives so much. What does he expect of us? So we're going to just mention that we're going to finish the third book of Vayikra, Leviticus, this week. And the book began with the word Vayikra, and he called. Hashem was calling Moshe because the tabernacle had been put up, and Hashem's glory fills this tabernacle, and he's calling Moshe to meet him in the tabernacle. And Moshe actually hears him, not just mentally, but miraculously. He's hearing it, and nobody else hears it. And every time Hashem calls out to Moshe, he does it with such love, repeating Moshe's name, Moshe, Moshe, exactly as he had done at the burning bush, preparing Moshe for what was to come, the address that was going to follow. And what's happening here is that he's calling him in to the tent of meeting, and he speaks to him. But when he calls him lovingly. And Moshe's feeling very humble. There's a tiny aleph on the word Vayikra, and he called. And because it starts the whole book, it will also end the entire book. We read two parshas this week, and we have a teaching that everything will follow the conclusion. We're going to start learning something and get into more and more detail. And eventually, there's going to be a summing up. And the parsha this week, the two parshas have many, many lessons in them. And the first parsha speaks about Har Sinai, the Har, the mountain, and yet Sinai, the small one. The last two words are Behar Sinai. What is the message of mountain but little mountain? Amazingly, the week we're finishing now, the week of humility, speaks to the heart of that. We need to actually assert ourselves like a mountain, but at all times humble. We need to take all of our gifts, develop and use them, but with tremendous awareness that it is not us, but Hashem that is enabling us, empowering us to be all that we are. Imagine a piece of meat being able to think, debate, make decisions, understand. Imagine this piece of brain, which is really just a piece of flesh, can direct an entire body, can support our sight and our hearing, our sense of smell, touch, taste. Our hearts are beating within us. What is a heart? It's a piece of flesh. Let us not fool ourselves. If I'm healthy, I'll live forever. It is Hashem who is keeping us alive and infusing this piece of meat with the ability to think, to walk, to speak, to eat, to love. And we need to use the entire potential with tremendous assertiveness and humility at the same time. And that's the week we're going to finish. But then we're going to start a new week. And that's the week of bonding. So let's look at the beginning of the parsha, the second parsha, where Hashem says, if you will advance in my rules, if you go in my ways. And interestingly, Hashem promises prosperity, material wealth, on our observance of his rules. Now, what are his rules? His rules are mitzvahs that don't have a rational explanation. And this is the final section of the book of where God is called to Moshe. It's the 10th parsha. And he opens the parsha telling us that if we follow, im bechukosai telechu, if you will go in my statutes, the category of mitzvahs that don't have a rational meaning, you will be rewarded with material wealth and health and well-being, and God forbid the opposite will be true as well. Hashem rules the world. Hashem made the rules of the world. He's inviting us to partner with him. And that's the week of bonding. No one is complete on their own. No human, that is. It's the other who will complete you. We've just said in the Hayom Yom, it's an amazing thing. We are small, but we can become big. Chassidus teaches you how limited you are, how small you are, but how great you can become. Har Sinai, a mountain, but a small mountain. We need to understand who is in charge, and we need to bond with Hashem according to his rules. What is bonding? Bonding is actually to become one. It's the ultimate connection. In the Omer, it's an emotional connection. You have love and discipline and compassion, endurance, humility. They're all interactive. There's still someone and what they're doing to someone else. It's between the lover and the beloved. The emphasis is on, in this coming week, the complete fusion of the two. It's complete unity, that each one recognizes without the other, I'm incomplete. And it brings us to a fascinating thought. God is perfect. God is everything. God doesn't need anything, but God desired to dwell in this nether world. God desired the service of an incomplete human being. He's not lacking. He doesn't need anything, but he wants this. And the only one who can give it to him is someone who doesn't see him, who chooses him to be his king. And in that way, because it's a real choice, or it's got to be a real choice, he's given us tendencies, things that we can choose. Shall I go left? Shall I go right? Shall I say it or should I keep quiet? Should I control myself and see the other or indulge myself? Without bonding, the truth is, not the love, nor the discipline, nor the endurance or humility or compassion can actually be truly realized. Bonding is real connection. It's not only feeling for someone else, but actually being attached to them. It's not just, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to step back, so it's a token commitment. It's total devotion. And a channel is created between he who gives and he who receives. And bonding is forever. Bonding develops a lasting union that lives on forever and ever through the fruit, the perpetual fruit it bears. It's the foundation of life. When we look at our lives, every person needs bonding to flourish and grow. Picture the bonding between a mother and a child, a husband and a wife, a brother and a sister, between true friends, close friends. When you bond with someone, you're actually saying yes. You're affirming, I belong to you, you belong to me, I'm connected to you, I'm bonded to you. And when you know this, it will establish trust. You'll trust yourself and you'll trust the other. It instills confidence. And without bonding and nurturing, we cannot realize and be ourselves. Picture a mother and a child. Picture the importance of early nurturing, early connection, early reliability, early stability, early predictive behavior of a parent. That gives security. That helps the child to be himself. And what we want to do is to develop this kind of relationship with one another and with Hashem, to really trust him, to be connected to him, to be devoted to him, and begin to realize how devoted and connected he is to us. Because all the other attributes, all the qualities of giving, of loving, of discipline and compassion and forgiveness and fortitude and endurance and humility and splendor, all of them, all together, are the actions that create, the qualities that create this constructive bond. And therefore, it's not just a bond, but it's called yisod, foundation. All the others are individual emotions, separate stories, as it were, separate levels in a building. And every one of them is very necessary for the human experience. And they are what we live with every single day in action. The bonding takes all of them and channels them into one bond. And that creates the foundation upon which the structure of human emotions will stand firmly. The structure of our connection to Hashem, if we show him love the way he wants to be loved, restraint the way he wants us to restrain ourselves, compassion or beauty, beautifying a mitzvah, endurance, no matter what happens, I am devoted to you, Hashem. And then last week, or the week we're finishing now, the week of humility, understanding, I'm not doing this on my own. And it's more than I give, do I get? Bonding is giving all of yourself, not just a part. It's not one emotion, it's all of them. You saw it, bonding completes the person, completes all the other emotions. And it's different from an ordinary foundation. It's not just underneath the structure, but it actually wraps itself around all of them. If it's a real bedrock of emotional psyche, it can't remain separate. It has to include all the other emotions and permeate all the other emotions. It makes them strong, vibrant. And only then can your bonding be constructive and everlasting. And the Parsha taps into that immediately. We're going into the week of bonding. I am incomplete on my own, no matter how much cleverness I think I have, or compassion or understanding, no matter how strong I am, no matter how gifted I am so limited without the other, without you, Hashem, without you to help me stay alive and thrive and be able to think We constantly need you, Hashem. We are nothing without you, Hashem. And until we internalize that, we are lacking. We are lacking. We are vulnerable. Because remember, He's directing every bit of where we go, what we do, where we land up, who comes into our space. Me Hashem mitzadei gever koinonu. From God are man's footsteps directed, arranged. And it's not for nothing. God has put us into this world which He has constructed. He continually creates us and continually creates the world. It's not something that happened years ago, no matter how many rings the tree has. We are in a vibrant, fluid relationship which is brand new every second. And it's only we who can make His dream come true. We, vulnerable, susceptible human beings, fragile and yet powerful. Chassidus teaches us how small we are, but how big we can become. And so we're going to look at the three types of mitzvahs that there are, and we've spoken about them. The one type are called mishpatim. A mishpat is an ordinance, that a mitzvah, that if God hadn't given it, we would have come to them on our own. It's logical, up to a point, although when we do it, we mustn't do it because my logic dictates. Honor your parents. Don't just honor them if they're nice. Don't just honor them if they give you things. Don't just honor them if they're wise and clever, rich, powerful. Honor them because Hashem said so. And courts of justice, and when we raise our children, when we make a family, when we go to work, these are mitzvahs, but they're not mitzvahs limited to what I think, my neighbor thinks, the politician thinks. It's what Hashem thinks. How, when, what, why? So there are mitzvahs that, even if God hadn't given them, it makes sense. It makes sense not to hurt an animal. It makes sense to take care of the poor. It makes sense. We are those kind of people in that kind of world who honor their parents, who want to see that a body gets buried, etc. However, there's also another level, and that's called Eidus. These are testimonials. These are to commemorate Shabbos, commemorate that God created the world, Pesach, that God took us out of Egypt. Shabbos also is Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. Shavuot coming up, remembering that God in this season gave us the Torah on Sinai, to celebrate the festivals, to commemorate events, and that's the middle category. But then there's a category where we don't understand and we're not meant to understand, and King Solomon, the wisest of all men, said, I try to fathom the laws of the red heifer, for example, and it's beyond me. And the parsha, the last parsha of the book of Leviticus, is called Bechukotai. His rules. These are Hashem's rules. What does it mean? His rules are the commandments that defy rationale. In fact, let's look at this word, rule, chayk, chukah. It actually means engraved. Isn't that beautiful? When you engrave a letter into something, the letter becomes a permanent part of it. If you engrave something in stone, the stone and the letter or the message are one thing. It's not the same when you're taking a pen, ink, parchment, or paper, and then you put the ink onto the paper. No, that's taking two separate things and joining them together. The letter is separate. You could wash it away. It's not an integral part of the thing it's been written on. We truly unite with Hashem when we keep His rules. It's like, it's an amazing, amazing experience where in order to engrave a letter, you have to take away some of the stone. There was a stone. You got to scratch out some of the stone to make space now for the letter. And spiritually speaking, we have to remove or negate our egos, remove what was in the way to becoming one with Hashem. We can only connect to Him in the fullest possible way if we don't get in the way. You know, our minds can be pretty powerful, but compared to Hashem, as our sages teach us, Ki loy machshavaysai machshavaysechem, I think it's our prophets. When we think of thoughts, and we think we can understand, we can't understand Hashem. If you're just going to use your mind, you're going to fall very short. We have to use our devotion, our unity, put our egos aside. And what happens in this parasha? Hashem promises wealth, prosperity. Really? Yeah. He says, when we keep these mitzvahs, and all mitzvahs, not because we understand them, but because you, Hashem, said so, we totally empty ourselves of our ego. And then instead of looking at whatever Hashem is giving us as a reward because we listen to Him, we don't. We see whatever He sends us as part of our relationship with Him, which means if He gives us health, we've got to use our health to serve Him. If He gives us money, we have to use our wealth to make Him great in the world, to give to others, to build and to educate and so on. Hashem is absolute goodness. He's absolute wisdom. He's absolute everything. So when we don't let our egos get in the way, we can experience His goodness purely. And everything becomes His revelation. He reveals Himself to us through what He sends, through what He holds back, to what He gives. It's an amazing, amazing experience. The parasha's talking about many things, but we want to speak a little bit about why Hashem, who is so spiritual and great, is going to reward us with giving us our rains in their seasons, and that the earth should produce this incredible amount of produce. I mean, that's very interesting. Is that really what life is all about? But it's interesting. It's interesting. Hashem is telling us that if we keep the mitzvahs, He's going to give us these rewards. If we study the Torah diligently and we keep His mitzvahs without question and we work hard at it, if we come bonded with Him, as mentioned, He's going to give us all that we need to be physically comfortable. And it's fascinating. So let's look at the body. A person is made up of many, many parts. He's got his lofty, refined parts, like his mind and his heart. And then he's got his abilities that are wonderful abilities. He could live without them, God forbid, but the ability to see, very refined, the ability to hear. Then, as we go down, he has parts that are less sensitive. He's got his arms, his fingers. Well, first we should say his digestive tract. And eventually he's got his heel, the sole of his foot, the bottom. And we want to know, we can ask ourselves philosophically, which one is the higher one? Which one is the more refined one? And we can see a difference. But if we ask ourselves which one is alive, there's no difference. Which one's more alive? There's no difference, because the bottom of the foot is as alive as the brain is. The soul is everywhere. A person's life is his essence. So every part of the body that God has in his wisdom fashioned and created, if it's a part of your body, it's receiving life, chayim. And there's no difference, and you can't say, my finger is less alive than my eye. And in the Ma'ariv service, we say in the second blessing, we'll always speak about your chukim, your statutes, your laws, your rules. B'shochveinu uvkumeinu, when we lie down and when we get up. Nasiach b'chukecha, we will speak about your chukim. V'nismach b'divrei toratecha uvmitzvotecha le'olam va'ed. And we will rejoice in the words of your Torah and in your mitzvahs forever. Why? Kehem chayenu ve'orech yameinu. For they are our life and the length of our days. The life of a Jew is Torah and mitzvahs. That's interesting. We don't always feel it. We've been in this exile, in host societies that numb our sense of who we are. They cause our love and loyalty to Hashem and to each other to blur. They cause our image of who we are to become vague. So let's hear the story of Rabbi Akiva. In the Gemara, it is told that Rabbi Akiva, against the Roman law, was gathering people in public, crowds of people, and teaching Torah. And there was a rule. The Romans had said, no teaching Torah. So there was someone called Poppas ben Yehuda. Whole other story of who Poppas was, and he asked him, aren't you afraid? And Rabbi Akiva gave his famous parable about this fox that was walking along the edge of the river, and he sees fish running back and forth because they're afraid of the nets of the fishermen. So the wily Shu'al, the wily fox, says to them, maybe you want to come up on dry land? We'll live together, you and I. And they said to him, you're supposed to be the sharpest, the wisest of all animals, but you're a fool. You're not sharp at all. He says, and then, as it were, in the parable, the fish said, if in the place of our life in the water we're afraid, in the place of our death, how much more so? If in a place where we can breathe and we know that the water is our life, we're afraid. Life's not so simple. How much more so if we leave the water, which is certain death, should we be afraid? And Rabbi Akiva finished, he says, we too. He says, when we sit and study Torah, when we're involved in a Torah life, when we're doing mitzvahs, he said, study Torah, about which the Torah says, ki hu chayecha ve'orech yamecha, it is your life, it is the length of your days. He says, it's exactly the same thing. If we're in it, our lives are in danger. How much more so if we leave it and we don't do it? How much more so will our lives certainly be in danger, and we will not be able to live? Torah is our life. And we've got 2 weeks, please God, until we will re-receive the Torah at the reading of the Ten Commandments. Now life is, our whole body is alive. And life surrounds every detail from the moment that the person comes into the world. There's no one part or one time when he's more alive than another. And that's Torah. Torah's from head to toe, from beginning to end. It actually surrounds and animates every part of the person, the spiritual parts and the physical parts, all of our life. And everything that God has given us must be alive. There has to be life in everything that we are. If I'm studying Torah and doing mitzvahs, everything in our life can be a mitzvah. There's nothing that we do, whether it's business or family or taking care of our bodies or our neighborhoods or our communities, everything, food, clothing, shelter, can be done as a mitzvah. And it's precisely that's why Hashem has given us all of these gifts. And it's a beautiful reciprocal relationship. Please keep my chukim, says Hashem. Please keep the laws for which there's no explanation. Please keep all my mitzvahs and keep them fully and study my Torah and telechu, which means grow better and better in them, improve in them, walk, or keep increasing, cover distance, rise. I will give you all of these blessings because the physicality of a Jew is really spirituality. There's a Hasidic saying that says, God, who is totally infinite, took spirituality and he made it into physicality. In other words, everything we see is really spiritual, but Hashem has made it look physical and he's brought it into our world and hidden the spirituality for us to find. And our job is to take physicality and make it spiritual. You know, if I hear something that makes me happy, it affects me. And there are different levels in happiness. It depends how deeply it will touch me, how much it will permeate me. If it's a small happiness, I'll just have a general good feeling. I'll feel, Baruch Hashem, I was able to do this, I was able to surmount this, Baruch Hashem. And we all have those moments every day. Thank God I woke up, thank God my body is working, thank God my legs are working, thank God my eyes, my mind, and all of those things. If it's a deeper simcha, a deeper joy, I might start singing. Wow. If it's even deeper than that, I might start clapping my hands, yay! But there's a simcha that permeates me completely and it reaches to my essence and it surrounds me completely to the point where my feet start dancing. Suddenly my feet lift me in this tremendous, tremendous dance. So we're speaking about a Jew. God took us out of Egypt for a purpose. And in the Torah, which we're about to re-receive, there are so many mitzvahs and things to do. We need to accept them as we did at Sinai then, and they need to permeate us. They need to be engraved in us. We need to labor in them, not necessarily in earning a living. That's up to Hashem. For that, we need to make vessels. We are one with Torah. It's an engraved relationship. It's like us and the stone. We are one. So, if we're totally involved in that way, then Hashem's going to reward us in that way. Hashem says, this is a bonding. This is something, it's not even something to think about. If you will go in my ways, if you will bond, you will connect with Torah in a way which is total. And when we connect to Torah, we're connecting to Hashem, his Torah. If we do that, if it's so connected, I will give you your rains in their seasons. I will bless you in everything. The reward will be a spiritual reward, and the reward will be a physical reward. If Torah is my life, and it's everywhere because life is in your entire body. And we are bonded with it. There's no part that's separate from Torah. My heart, my head, my hands, my eyes, my ears, everything. I am totally involved. And the reward is in everything, down to the possessions that I have, to the reward, as it were, that I'll have ample livelihood. I'll have all the physical blessings that are listed at such great length in the parsha this week. It's an incredible, incredible parsha, which is going to lead us to the last parsha that we're going to read before the giving of the Torah. We got to internalize this concept of bonding. It's about giving your all. It's about saying Hashem is all. It's about saying to myself, when you have a firm foundation, nothing can shake you. My foundation is Hashem, and it will lead me to sovereignty, to dignity, to balance, to know that anything He puts into me can be used to serve Him. It makes me feel so secure. It makes me work toward wanting to give Hashem everything because He is my life. And more than anything, a person wants to live. There's an interesting story that I want to share. And I love this story because it actually gives perspective that we can give out or we can take in. It was reported to the Rebbe that a member of a particular community was a constant source of conflict. The Rebbe called in, he asked to see one of the leaders, the lay leaders of the community. And he said, I suggest you give this individual a communal position. For example, why don't you appoint him to be the gabbai, the warden of the shul? Keep him busy. The Rebbe continued. In Petersburg, in Leningrad, my father-in-law, the Rebbe Rayatz, the Friedeke Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, once called me into his office, and he told me that so-and-so, an individual known for his contentious personality, was coming to town and was likely to stir up trouble. Please, my father-in-law said to me, see to it that he's kept busy so that he stays out of trouble. Okay. And then he said a fascinating thing. He said, the previous Rebbe said to the Rebbe in Petersburg, my father-in-law continued with a big smile, there's a big monument of Tsar Alexander in front of the train station. The Tsar was a tall, strapping man, and the huge sculptor depicts him as riding on this large stallion. In front of this imposing monument, a soldier always stood guard. And a person coming out from the train station once asked a bystander, tell me, why do they need a soldier to guard this monument? Who could possibly steal this enormous statue? And the fellow responded, look, as long as that soldier stands here, at least the soldier himself is not stealing. As long as we're keeping that soldier busy guarding this tall statue of Tsar Alexander, we know that he's not getting into trouble. And this is what we need to do ourselves. In fact, the Kotzke Rebbe, Reb Mendel of Kotzk, said, I don't ask of my chassidim not to sin. I ask of them not to have time to sin. We need to reflect as we are moving through to the end of the week of humility, to honestly look inside of ourselves and ask ourselves, is this why God has given me this precious minute, the ability to think and stand and look and see and speak? Is this why God has given me the most precious gift of life, Chaim? There must be a reason. God has given me this treasure called a moment. You can't buy it. You can't rent it. And God forbid, when it passes, you can't get it back. Don't leave it empty. We need to say to ourselves, I am the center of the world, and the world is depending on me. Let me keep busy with devotion to those who need me, to the community, to the school, to the shul, to my neighbor, to my family. Let me rest in order to have strength, or to think of who else I can help, but no idle time. No time where I'm just doing nothing. Even a vacation needs to be for the distinct purpose of having strength to be able to plow my energies into doing more and more to make God known in the world, to make this world a better place, a kinder place. And that is done directly through mitzvahs. A mitzvah, the word mitzvah comes from the word connection, and a mitzvah is the will of God. When you give someone, you do somebody's will, a tremendous bond is created. I am doing what you asked me to do. I'm doing it with love and with restraint, with beauty and endurance and humility. And that's bonding. That's the mitzvah is engraved in me. I am engraved in the mitzvah. We are one. And so in this wonderful week coming up, as we get closer and closer to receiving the Torah, let us see how much we can fill our time with that will benefit our friends, our neighbors, our families, our communities. There is so much out there waiting for you to teach a thought of Torah, to share a mitzvah, to remind someone that candlelighting this week is getting earlier and earlier. I think it might be about, haven't looked, but like maybe 13 minutes past or 10 past 5. Let's be active in God's world, because as mentioned, the Kotzker said, I don't ask of my chassidim not to sin. I ask of them not to have time to sin. Have a good evening. Please God, see you next week.